5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rockin' pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the rider sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rockin' in 2x2. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up, just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. Nothing to lose. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. You know she wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. Roll over Beethoven, roll over Beethoven, roll over Beethoven.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, 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 good evening, good evening. It is the all-new Panic Room, and it's October the 6th. 2022. So if you're listening to this in a time capsule, we survived the Great Plague. Ooh, to be fair, just about everybody survived the Great Plague. So, you know, except for a lot of old people, I suppose. But, yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? Anywho, speaking of old people. Well, with the heat, yeah, I mean, the old, I mean, come on, you know spring chicken, are you? Let's be honest, without being unkind, you're getting along in the tooth, aren't you?
You know, I still think you have a good, like, 10 years on me, so if we're being honest here. But,
hang on, moving,
I
yes, I do, but I, you know, I'm lucky. I managed to retain my youthful good looks and chirpy disposition, as you know. I'm known for being chirpy, believe it or not.
I don't think it's fair. Guys do. They age so well. They just start getting better looking as they get older. And I don't always think that's true of women.
You know,
we don't really age gracefully.
Funny you should say that. I came across my old student union card quite recently, actually, because I took a picture of the picture in it for the kids. And I'm far better looking than I was in my early 20s, I have to say.
It happens. It's not fair. Well, you know, the women, I think we have it better when we're younger. We're just like, you know, foxy. And then you get older. And the men, they just, different level.
Women have so much more to sag, really. You know, men, not so much, you know. There's a few older women who are Helen Mirren, for one. Sigourney Weaver's handsome gal. Some are still. But then you get other. It's fun. I love these. Again, I have too much time on my hands. I think somebody on Facebook where they're overdone the plastic surgery. You know, like Meg Ryan.
Yes.
And,
oh God.
And it's just just grow old gracefully. Seriously,
yeah,
you know.
Yes.
Don't,
yeah, I love that.
Why look like that? Why look like a half pickled thing? I mean, it's not attractive.
I know. No, I you know, I'm a huge Friends fan, and I watched the reunion. Last year, the year before. And well, you know, it was what it was. But Phoebe.
Jennifer Aniston has weathered I mean, she's 52 now. She's not much younger than me, to be honest. She's still, I guess she's had something, but she's still.
Yeah.
You know what it is. You know why? She's never had kids. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why she doesn't have that haggard, can't wait to look about her, you know?
You can definitely tell that her and Courtney have had work done, and
Courtney doesn't look good.
Phoebe though, her she is just, she's beautiful. I mean, she definitely
you can tell she's
not had anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think we're more vain. Like the guys when they start getting the silver hair, they let it go.
They start wearing a wig. And whoever told men, I mean, it's a great bit of marketing, because no man ever looked in a wig ever. You can not tell it's the wig. If you're going bald, look at Prince William, bless him, and he started going bald at like 18. And he embraces it, you know. He's a slaphead, and he's kind of comfortable with it, and good for him. As long as, obviously, when he's king, he needs careful the crown doesn't slip off. You know, maybe he'll have to put a bit of blue back or something to keep the crown on there. You know.
Yeah, you know,
just
guys.
I know Willie listens in. So a little tip for you there, Willie.
They have the silver fox thing going, and it's really hot. And then, you know, oh man, I just touched up my hair just the other day to make it, you know, what is that commercial? Wash those grays right out of your hair. And I'm like, oh God, I don't feel this old, but you know, when you have to touch up your hair.
Well, I tell you something sad, because I've been bleaching my from when I really started getting grey hair. You know, I started bleaching hair. This is going a year ago now. And then I got my hair cut. About mum and the kids were getting a haircut, because our stash is back now from a maternity leave, which is great. But before that, I thought I'd buy a bleaching kit. So I bought this bleaching kit, got my haircut, came back and looked at myself in the mirror. I really wasted my money on that bleaching kit. There's nothing left to bleach. It's all pretty much as white, it's all silver, you know, as white as you can get now. So I just haven't bothered.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm still
okay.
Gorgeous. I'm still gorgeous.
That's the difference between men and women. We're just, I don't know if it's a vein or not, but, well, it is a little, but at the same time, I can't. I'm not that old, so I'm like, some of my friends are like, oh, it's a beautiful, you got the Marilyn, what was the Lily Munster thing going on sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, maybe in a couple of years I'll let it go, but I'm not quite yet, I'm just,
Well,
so, yeah,
the killer, that when you really know you're getting old is when your pubes start turning grey. apparently,
God.
You know.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, gosh, talking about getting older just depresses me. So we should move right along, moving right along.
Well, you know, it's one of those times. I know everybody say, you know, I don't feel old. You know, inside I feel as young as I ever did. But, you know, then I try to get out of the car after an hour and I'm driving.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, you know.
And in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm just going to spring right out and do whatever I was going to do. And then, you know, you take one step and your body's like, no, you're not going to spring right out of anything right now.
And then there's the sound effects. You hit a certain age and every movement is, you know, getting out of the chair. It was funny. I remember, and this is, I think, probably when I realised that there was an ad on the TV or online, or whatever, for, like, it's a thing that you put your sock on. It's like a long thing, and they put your foot in it. And I'm thinking, when I first thought, oh, fuck, you know, sad and old, you know. And then you get to the point, oh, that's a good idea, that, you know. What a good idea. I wonder if it's on Amazon. And then just walk-in shower. I mean, I get all the email ads for walk-in showers and erectile dysfunction pills. And, oh, it's just the singles. It's like, I'm not dating old women. No.
I see all my friends from, like, high school that I have on my, Facebook. And, like, I'm not as old as they are, and it's awful.
You've aged badly, mate. You've aged badly. And then you look in the mirror, and I've not aged much better either. Although, to be honest, you know, I've fared a lot better than those amongst my old school friends who are dead. So I'll put it that way. There's three or four I know of that are dead, you know.
Yay for not being dead.
That's for you and me not being dead. It would be remiss of me not to mention, we're not having a show next week, so the next show we have, you will be our woman. Which is exciting. I really wish I could be there. I would love to be. You need to FaceTime it so I can be there.
You know, I should do that. I really should. Just hold the phone up in one hand. I should.
You need to.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, yeah, no show next week. Xena is getting married. Woo!
I know! I guess we have to say it's not to me. I mean, there's so many people over the years sort of thought we were a thing. But no, you know, you have far better taste. You got yourself a good man.
I do have a great guy, but I should go live and invite everybody to the wedding. I mean, I'm really not going to, but that'd be fun.
Here's me. I'm you know, destined to die alone, I believe. And the funny thing is, you know, it's fine with me. You know, I don't know. I think I'm just having a lot of it on my own for so long. I'm just kind of used to it. I'm kind of happy. I put myself in bed and I've had doggies and, you know, life's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, you just know what you want and you're not going to settle for anything less than that. And there's no reason you should, you know, and I think... Yeah, definitely. If I had to give advice to anybody out there who is, you know, in a relationship, just make sure you know the person. I mean, there's so many people I think they just pair up because that's what we're supposed to do, and then end up being miserable.
Well,
why would you do that? Jeez.
Well, you know, again, we're getting older. You know, I'm not looking for someone to reproduce with. I've done all that. So I've done enough of that. You know, I'm not looking for that. And I like, you know, that I can just do what I want. What I want on TV. If I want to have beer and ice cream for dinner, I'll have beer and ice cream for dinner. I mean, whatever. You know,
a beer float sounds really good, doesn't it?
Oh, does it? I'm drinking a beer now. I might have another one in part two, actually, because it's been a week. That's depressing, Liam. Anywho, what are the show this evening, Xtina?
I am excited. We have a returning guest on the show for our first segment who we have not had on since, I think, 2017. So, I know. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce him and then we'll get going. Yes, our first guest of the evening, we have Bram Stoker Award-winning author, Kaylin Patrick Burke.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. It's been a while.
It has. I think really long been since time. 2017. That is scary.
Yeah, I looked it up.
How have you been in that time? Keeping busy, I presume.
To keep with the theme of the show, apparently I've been getting really friggin' old.
Join the club.
Yeah, there's no stopping it.
There is not. I mean, yeah, you know, I think, you know, you just take every day, you know, and enjoy it. You know, and I think, you know, get to that point and, you know, things are not so bad.
Oh, I think I would be one of those people that says that, you know, that I think my older years are much more satisfying than the younger ones were.
Maybe not as wild,
but definitely more fulfilling.
And as well, you tend to spend less time drunk and hungover, I found.
Oh, absolutely.
I spent a lot of my 20s and 30s drunk or hungover, to be honest, which is not good.
Me too.
Now, you know, I just had a beer because I fancy, and that's it. There was a time, you know, I'd stop pretty much, fell over, but not anymore. I can't do that anymore.
Well, sooner or later, your body starts to just protest, you know, it's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, well, no, physiologically, the liver, as you get older, the liver's ability to process toxins, and alcohol in particular, diminishes. Which is why it takes far less to get drunk and far longer to recover these days. So I prefer not to. I don't know. It used to be fun. You know, I know that the old adage used to be back in my day. You know, if you have, you know, you don't have to drink to have fun. Well, I did, to be honest. I was that person. I needed a few beers to have a good time. So. Yeah. So I guess you've been
alternative. Just have fun, I think, these days.
Mm.
Well, you know, I think Fun for me is, you know, is a nice movie in bed and an early night. That's pretty much it.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's great. In fact, so much so I'm planning to get a bigger TV for my bedroom. You know, again, part of getting it because, you know, it's all the way at the end of the bed and it's only a 36-inch screen, so I'm thinking 55-inch, so I can see it better. So,
definitely.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be perfect. And I mean, I think everybody in the horror community is excited for the new Hellraiser movie, which comes out, I think that'll be tomorrow. Wow. I'm going to watch it Saturday. Me and my daughter are going to get our pizza and beer and watch the new. Hellraiser, like my all-time favorite film. I mean, are you looking forward to it, Keelan?
Well, I'm counting the hours. If I wasn't so tired, I'd stay up because I think it comes on here at about 3 a.m. But
I'm a big fan of
previous work, so I think the property is at last in good hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like three. And funny enough, I actually watched four just the other night because I came across it and I watched it. Anyway, it wasn't as bad as people make. It wasn't brilliant. But, yeah, I mean, it got progressively worse. I mean, the last one was not too bad, actually. They just got worse. But the first, I remember watching the first one back in the good old days of VHS. And I only picked it up from, remember the video stores back in the day?
Yeah.
I only picked up, I was just looking for something to watch, and I actually recognized Andy Robinson. I don't recognize his name, because I'd never even heard of Clive Barker by, at that point. And Andy Robinson played the Gemini Killer in the Dirty Harry movie. I recognized the name. I thought, oh, okay, he's a big name, kind of a big name. I got it. And it just blew me away. I rewound it and watched it again straight after. It was just so wonderfully different and visceral. I was just like, wow. And then I went and bought all the books of blood and everything, you know. So, part of me, you know, horror remakes have not really fared awfully well for years, I have to say. The Rob Zombie Halloweens were okay. All the others have been awful, to be honest.
I can't even agree with you on the Rob Zombie Halloweens, honestly.
Really?
Oh, no.
I enjoyed those. I did.
I respect the attempt to remake anything. It's a tough job. Because even when you take that job on, you're going to disappoint hardcore fans of the original who just simply do not want a remake to begin with.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how
that is true,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Pet Sematary was awful. Poltergeist
awful.
Was terrible. Firestarter, to be fair, I have not even just the picture for it. The still picture for it put me off. It just looked terrible. And
about Halloween for me, the Rob Zombie Halloween, and I'm certainly not a Rob Zombie hater by any means. I actually quite like the guy more than I like his movie.
Uh-huh.
But he's the thing I didn't that I kind of rubbed me the wrong way about his versions is you know, the whole point of Michael Myers is to be this mysterious unknown thing, and by giving him a backstory, I think you kind of lose everything that made the original story.
Oh, really? It was the opposite for me. For me, it gave him more depth than just somebody walking around in a mask and a knife, you know. So, yeah, I like the backstory thing. In fact, the remakes of It were very good. They were very well done. And I loved the original miniseries, but they did a really good job. That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. I preferred the first part. I thought the first part was excellent. The second, a little less so, but I still thought the whole thing.
I agree. The second part went on a bit. Yeah. But to be fair, I was never a fan of the end of the book. It just seemed to be you know. But, yeah. So, anyway, you're here to talk about your book, Dead Leaves. which is a Halloween collection of stories. So tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, it's a collection called Dead Leaves. It's a bunch of Halloween stories. There you go.
Well,
thank you for joining us. That was great.
honestly, there's not a whole lot more to it than that. It's just a seasonal collection of short stories. And they range from the quiet and the subtle ghost stories to outright, you know, pretty visceral horror. But I think there's something for everyone in it. It's pretty short. It's the kind of thing that you'd knock out in an afternoon. And it's perfect for your, whether or not you're a pumpkin spice fan, have your pumpkin spice latte or whatever the hell, and sit there and watch the leaves fall while you're reading it.
Now that does sound good, actually.
It really does.
Yeah,
I want to hear more. I think that we have a, I think you were going to read a short excerpt for us.
Was I? Because I don't have the book with me.
Well, yeah, I guess you don't have to.
Hang on, give me a second. I'll see
okay,
where it is.
All right.
It's actually absolute chaos around here because I've just been decorating for Halloween, and there's all sorts of giant monsters inside the house and weird lights and all kind of crazy stuff. So half the rooms are in darkness because I took the light bulbs out to replace them with colored ones.
Nice.
So it's
I did my Halloween decorations last weekend, and this is my favorite time of year. I'm so, you know, every time I go to the store, I just gravitate toward the decorations, and like I don't even have any more room anywhere. Like I don't know where I would put something, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I need it all.
Oh, I go completely overboard this year, more so than ever before, I think. All right, let's see. I have it. What am I going to read, though? I should be prepared, but I'm not. I could just read the introduction for you, which is pretty Halloween-y by itself.
Sure, that would be great. Yeah.
Okay. All right, ready?
Ready when you are.
Okay. It's October 3rd as I write this, and hotter than it has any business being. The sun is shining, although with that burnished antique quality of light that's unique to autumn. And it's quiet except for the sound of dead leaves falling from the trees that surround my house. My neighbors have started decorating their houses with the expected fare, plastic skeletons, corn dollies, fake cobwebs, and pumpkins. Some of them keep it simple, others go all out, festooning their homes with an abandon usually reserved for Christmas. These houses are positively shrouded in cobwebs, amber lights, dangling bats and witches. The yards are full of foam gravestones, zombies frozen in the act of emerging from their plots, malevolent scarecrows and bubbling cauldrons. And their porches are a veritable gallery of plastic ghouls and hangmen. It brings a smile to my face to see these people, excuse me, from the painfully straight-laced to the inordinately ebullient, united in their guilty excitement for Halloween. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Fun. We enjoy being scared and we enjoy scaring. No matter how reserved or serious our lives might have become in the long, dark hallway of years that separate us from our childhoods, Halloween remains that one time of the year in which the masks of our adulthood are not only permitted, but encouraged to come off, replaced by whatever terrible transient visage with which we choose to replace them. For one night, we get to retreat from the world of adult responsibility and enjoy being the monsters. We get to dress up, give out candy, bay at the moon, or huddle up on the couch with our nearest and dearest, while taking mutual comfort in the fact that the noise we just heard outside was probably just the wind, that the vampires and werewolves and masked killers on the TV are restricted to the world of fantasy, that we're safe. It's a naive state of mind we subconsciously carry with us all year round. We're safe. Nothing can harm us. The world, despite its horrors, exists beyond the borders of our town, and nothing bad can ever happen here. But of course it does. And on Halloween, we invite the monsters in, permit them their one night to terrorize us before slinking back to their graves and crypts. Halloween is controllable horror. We allow the monsters their time in the moonlight until we send them away. We watch scary films on TV, but can change the channel and switch it off whenever we like. We read the books, but close them if it gets to be too much. We control it. It's a safe kind of scary. And considering how hostile it seems our world has become, where urban legends of yesteryear become ideas for the unstable, where no child walks alone after dark and no door or window goes unlocked, it's nice to have that kind of control. Halloween provides us with the choice to be scared or to scare others. It allows us to vicariously slip behind the mask and see the world through the eyes of things that evoke fear in others. It allows us to be scared out of our wits, safe in the knowledge that it isn't real. For one night, and one night only, we're the monsters. This is horror, ladies and gentlemen. In books, movies, video games, horror is escapism, no more or less than Halloween. We wear the masks for a short time, knowing they can always be removed. We get to be scared in a safe environment and nobody gets hurt. This is Halloween. This is horror. Celebrate it. There you go.
I love that. I love being scared. And yeah, when you go to make out the signed copy, that's XTINA.
Think of it as a wedding gift.
Right. Yes. Perfect.
There you go.
Oh, yes. Speaking of it, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to be an honest woman next week. Yeah.
Well, I doubt that, but congratulations anyway.
Yeah, good luck
with
that.
That's what we're telling them.
I just want to pick up on something, you know. You say that you like being scared, yeah? And we do, you know, I guess horrifying that. But I'm in the getting the very thin dating pool in Houston at the moment. I think I got through most of them. And the number of ladies that, it's frightening. You're a grown-ass adult. You know, if I was dating 7-year-old girls, you know. Okay, totally different conversation. But, you know, it's funny, with me and my daughter, I started watching horror movies at 10, 8, 9, whatever, you know, and I've been watching horror movies with her. And I remember when she was like probably 8, 9, you know, and we were watching something scary, and so you're not frightened by this. Well, no, it's just a film. It's like, but yet, yeah. Grown-ass adults, they could never, you know, and I've had some that as soon as they find out, you know, they ask me what I write. Although, to be fair, if they'd made an effort to read my fucking profile, they'd know. So there's that. Rude. They literally have them either ghostly or one woman. It was funny because she was all, "Oh, I'm Christian," and she said, "Oh, I can't see this work." She said, "You know, you write about demons, and I write about angels." And I said, "Well, technically they're the same thing." And that was it. Never heard from her again. Just, you know, pointed out really how stupid she was. I know some women are sensitive like that, I guess, you know. But I need to know. Again, you know,
I don't think that that's limited by gender. I think that there are people out there that just, on one hand, there's a lot of misconceptions about what horror is. Like, a lot of people I talk to, when I tell them what I write, they immediately think hockey masks and machetes, and that's it. That's where horror starts, stops, you know. It can't be psychological. It can't be nuanced. It can't be explorations of grief or anything else. And then on the other side of it, you have people who are well aware of what horror is but don't enjoy being scared. They just don't. It's like an aversion to a forced primal reaction, you know?
I enjoy. Well, I think scary movies don't scare me. I mean, I think I'm, you know, we're all way past that. You know, I like a good movie, and I like a good horror movie. One makes me think, one that engages me. And funnily enough, actually, I think it was, it might have been Paul Kane actually on Facebook, and he mentioned, I think it was either Burt Reynolds' last movie or one of his last movies called The Last Last Movie Star. And I thought, I did not know that movie existed. Big Burt Reynolds fan. I sat and watched it the other night, it's on Prime. Absolutely loved it. If you want, I mean, it made me cry, I must admit. Reynolds was phenomenal in it. And it was just a simple story, and it was wonderful, you know. And again, not hot. I mean, some of the best films. I remember watching Little Miss Sunshine. Again, not a hot, brilliant movie. You know, some little independent movies. They're so well written, so well done. You know, so much better than the big budget. I don't watch big budget movies, really. You know. But yeah, I enjoy, growing up, I'm scared. Just like, for me, a book will scare me. A book will get, not so much scare me, but it will get into my brain, you know, get into my mind and,
yes.
And sit there and mull away at things, and you know how it goes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, that's the thing with movies, you're being presented with somebody else's vision of it, and in books, it's completely open to your own interpretation, and that's infinitely scarier.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I like, when I write, I like to, get into people's heads, and that's the fun part. You know, you put the scary stuff from your own head into someone else's head, which is, when you think about it, it's pretty neat. You know what we do. But I mean, what sort of movies do you enjoy watching, Keelan?
Pretty much everything, if it's good. I mean, the movies you just mentioned, I've seen both of them. I watch an awful lot of films. Same with my reading. I don't limit it to any particular genre. There are very few. I'd say probably rom-coms are the ones that I have the hardest time, their hardest sell for me, but pretty much everything.
I hear you.
And the only reason that rom-coms don't do it to me, and occasionally one will, is because they're just the same recycled thing most of the time. But I also have that problem when horror movies do it. If it's recycled ideas that have no defining or anything, if it's just a retread, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But I love westerns, historic, history movies, biopics, documentaries, plays. I love everything is good. Mystery.
For me, if it's good, if it's well written and well done, I'm there. You know, I'll enjoy it.
I find as I get older, I'm less, actually, when it comes to reading, that I'm less interested in reading horror than I used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that I use pretty much almost every other genre, and then maybe once a month if I hear about a book that's getting a lot of praise or that particularly interests me, I'll read that in the horror genre. But overall, it's kind of, I don't know. I still write it, but I'm a lot less interested in reading it.
Interesting.
I go in straight because I think like earlier in the year, I was all into kind of chick lit stuff, you know, and it was just, and then as soon as the spooky season hit, I was like, let me look around my Stephen King shelf and see what I haven't read yet. And, what am I reading now? Oh, I picked up, what is it called? Revival. And I've heard it's really good. And, you know, I not even 50 pages in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Stephen King is so dark. I mean, you know, it's horror writer. I get it. I do. And he's such a great writer. And like I said, 50 pages in, I'm just like, oh my gosh, so dark. And like you said about horror, it's not all, you know, Jason hockey mask. And because it's very much, it's horrific, yet nothing so far too much has really happened. But at the same time, it's still, you know, it's a lot. And I'm having fun with it. I wanted to. Did you say you enjoyed that one?
I did not enjoy that one, no.
No, really?
He was on a great run. Like, he kind of lost me for a while. And then he came out with one great one after, right around the time of Under the Dome, 11/22/63. There was one after the other. And Revival, I was really excited about, and I think that as a story with no supernatural elements, it would be fantastic. I really liked the dynamic and the whole preacher stuff, but the last third completely lost me, and I absolutely hated the ending.
Wow. I'm hoping. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people mention how much they liked it, so I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am pretty pleased. You may love it. I'm usually a minority. I'm so jaded these days.
No, it's very hard with Stephen King, because even if you end up not caring for the story, it's still so well written that it's hard to go.
Oh, I love his
voice.
It's always just like picking up putting on an old pair of shoes. It's very comfortable to be reading him again. But honestly, there's so many writers out there right now that are really intriguing and that do things so much differently. It's fun to dip into the pool, particularly with independent publishing. There's so many writers that are coming up these days that absolutely are fantastic and definitely well worth everybody's time.
Definitely. I definitely, you know, with Hellbound, we see that all the time. There's, we'll read a story for a submission or something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like amazing. And why isn't this, a movie or something, you know? And but they keep recycling the same old
They're too busy remaking old, you know, rehashing old stuff. That's why, you know, they don't give, new authors a go, you know. Although, you know, some sneak through, you know, and, you know, independent production companies are more prepared to give them a chance. Instead of, let's do another Marvel DC move. Oh, no, just don't. You know, could you not do another Marvel, another Batman versus whoever? You know, just don't do that. Please.
I think I support the idea of in the right hands. You know, like the Hellraiser thing, David Bruckner's version of that. I haven't seen it yet. Obviously, nobody has. But I think if you get if the producers or whoever gets involved understands the appeal of the original and the appeal of the material it comes from. And you get the absolute right people involved, then I think. I mean, look, in the past, we had The Fly, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s version, The Ring, even. In the right creative hands, I think remakes can work.
A lot of the time, it's... Oh, no.
I know. We're out of time for our first segment. But I was going to say, before we let you go, Keelan, you have to promise to come back before 5 years are up this time.
I put it on my calendar right now, my 3-year calendar. I'll make sure it's in there.
Well, I say, I mean, we're all getting older. We can't take 5 years for granted. So, you know, let's get it in while we can.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So before we let you go, let us know where we can find you online.
Everywhere. It's just my name, Keelan Patrick Burke. I'm on TikTok these days, making a complete ass of myself. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm still on Facebook. Pretty much everywhere.
Awesome. Thank For all of our listeners out there, go out and buy Dead Leaves by Keelan Patrick Burke. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to have you back.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Happy Halloween and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Well, you know, time just flies when you're having fun. I know it's cliche, but it's always the case on this show. And it is. It's time... I really do need a wee, actually, so I'm going to go for a wee. Maybe see if I can open a new beer. And we will be right back.
The Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media. Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
welcome back to part two.
Well, 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 we're back. He's back. Absolutely. It's a nice long break, that. Nice long break. So, just coughing, just building your power.
I know.
You're building your power.
I've been so good all day long, and, you know, we get laughing, and we're having such a great time, and I can't stop coughing, so I blame the show,
well,
really. I do. But,
well,
no,
they're going to get even,
things than laughing.
Even
yeah.
better now, because it's time of the evening when we say...
Hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, it's a lovely Samantha. How you doing?
You know, this week isn't too bad. My little boy got his cast off.
Yay.
He can finally, you know, navigate around the house a little bit better. So it's been an okay week, I think.
That's good. I can't believe how late we are in the year. That's all. I just keep saying that. Every week it's the same thing. I'm like, holy crap.
No,
so,
I think that's funny, too, because I write on my calendar, you know, so I know, like, what – I like to know what guest I was on with and, like, what I reviewed. So I have, like, a whole separate calendar from my normal calendar. And I was, like, filling out October yesterday. I told my husband, I said, I've been doing the show with him for almost a year. I was like, how crazy is that?
Holy
he
crap.
Was like, that really
yeah.
is. He
wow.
said it feels like it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I've been on twice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's scary.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes, the time is just a flying.
It really is.
Well, happy Easter. I'm going to, straight after the show, I'm going to go hide the Easter eggs for kids to find.
I know what you mean.
Oh, God, I just wish it would just slow down. At least from now until the end of the year, we can, like, go in slow motion. That would be okay.
Well, you know
I
now.
Want it to go
I mean,
in slow motion. I want to enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But well, I mean, the Christmas stuff is all in the stores, and you know what's coming.
It is.
You know, we'll get Thanksgiving, it's going to be all Christmas music. And Xenia will tell
terrible.
You just how much
yeah.
I do not like Christmas music. I hate it.
I don't mind the Christmas
it.
Music. I don't mind it. But I don't want to listen to it, you know, when it's like, spooky season still. Like, I feel like from October
right.
to, like, to
yeah.
New Year's, really, everybody rushes this time of year. Like, oh, Halloween's over. Let's
yeah.
do Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving over. Now it's time, you know, for
yeah.
6 weeks worth of Christmas. And it's just, it goes
yeah.
too fast.
It does.
Like,
it's
at the dollar store, literally, they have a whole aisle for Halloween stuff and a whole aisle for Christmas stuff. Like, that doesn't, where's
yeah.
Thanksgiving? Do we just skip it?
Yes. I was at, I think, Hobby Lobby, and I was all excited to see their Halloween stuff, and they had a tiny little section of Halloween, and the rest was Christmas. And I absolutely
and
adore
Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah, I adore Christmas, but I wanted, you know, it's not even Halloween yet. So, yeah, I was a little sad. I wanted to see more, you know, Halloween things. So, yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know what you mean.
I know. I mean, like, they can't do anything about it, but it was sad. I'm like, it's not even Halloween. Why is it all gone? So, and now, like, earlier today, I was like, oh, my God, we have to get to the store and buy the, you know, all the candy for the trick-or-treaters, because in my mind, I'm like, it's going to be gone by the time I get to the store. I mean, oh, my God. I'm going to make myself anxious now that we're it's all out of candy. Candy's all gone. There's no more candy. Oh God! So we're gonna have to go tomorrow. That's all there is. We got to go shopping tomorrow, baby. All right.
Now I'm gonna check tomorrow and see if you really went and got candy. You better be able to provide pictures.
I know. You know, and in the neighborhood we are in, we have crazy trick or treaters. The first year, we were out of candy within like, I was gonna say the first hour. We were out of candy. We had to like close the shop and. So the next year I bought even more. Yeah, I bought even more, and again, it didn't last very long. So I'm like, maybe this is it. This is the year I have enough candy. But I, you know,
just quadruple what you bought last year.
Yeah, yeah, really. And, you know, I start off where I give, like, a handful to each kid. You know, because when I was, you know, I know. And then by the time I'm almost, I got, like, a bucket left, and I'm like, okay, two pieces, and that's it. So
my little girl, they'll do that. They'll be like, you know, two pieces, and she takes a whole handful and runs off, and then they stare at me like I'm supposed to do something about it. Like, she's done ran,
yeah.
Guys. I don't know.
Right, right. You mean, do you want to tackle her? I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, like, that's not worth starting an argument here.
Right. Oh, gosh. What do you have for us this week, Sam?
Okay, so I was cutting it close tonight, guys. I finished Death House this evening. It's a novella. It's by Joshua McMillan, and he sent this to me as an ARC. It's supposed to release, I think, like Halloween day before Halloween. That's what he's shooting for. And it's very like McHaney Manor. That's what I think of when I read this. These kids go on this haunt. They're looking for this, you know, really extreme haunt that is by invitation only. They were looking for it forever. They finally, you know, get this invitation. The one guy's like, oh, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. His friends are a little skeptical. And then, you know, of course, when they get there, it's not the haunt that they thought. And so it's got, like, Saw vibes to it. And it's kind of got, like, some Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes in there, too. It's very, very descriptive. Like, there's some scenes in there where I'm like, oh, wow, like, I can really picture that. And just, like, the whole vibe of it, the way it's set up, it's like, it's just, it's a slasher. It's, you know, your typical Halloween awesome slasher, and it has a really fast pace. It probably should have only taken me a day to read this, but, you know, I have kids, and I'm a mom, so, you know, we were going on day seven. But it really is good. It's perfect for Halloween if, you know, you like extreme, because it is an extreme story, I think. There's some pretty gross scenes in there. It's really worth picking up, and like I said, it's not very long. I just can't get it together.
Yeah, it was funny when we were talking to Kaylin about the different kind of horrors, and, you know, some people just don't care to be scared, and, you know, some people actually are, you know, really scared, and I'm one of the people who I can scare very easily. I mean, you can creep me out so easy, and, you know, I won't sleep a wink tonight because I'll just be, you know, terrified, but yet I enjoy it. Like, I don't know, I don't know if it's like an adrenaline rush or what it is, but I'm like, it's cool, you know. And
that's funny that you say that. I wish you'd have been here last night when my little girl woke the entire house up at 4 a.m. literally slasher screaming. She didn't like wake up, look around, and start screaming. She woke up screaming. Do you want to know why, guys? Because she had a dream that there was a snake in the bed.
Aww.
She was out here literally terrified for over an hour.
Wow. Well, you know, I get it.
We woke up thinking the house was on fire.
Right. Yeah. That, you know, little kids are creepy anyway. So, you know.
Me and my husband, like, smacked kids in the hallway. We were like, what's wrong? Who's in the house? Is the house on fire? Is Adam okay? Like, she was a mess, and she kept saying, there's a snake. There's a snake. There was no snake. And we didn't go back to bed.
Oh my God, that does sound fun though. Yeah,
but I think of you when you're like, I like to be scared. I don't know if you'd like that last night. That sheer terror.
Right. You know, afterwards, it's funny. We went to a haunted attraction a couple of years ago with my son. Now my son he's 6 foot. He's not a you know tiny little thing. He's just this. You know, he's a big guy. You know, and. He looks kind of, I mean, I wouldn't want to pick a fight with him, you know, anywhere. Anyway, we go to a haunted exhibit, and he's hanging on to me like a little girl.
Oh, like
he's terrified. He's terrified, and we get done, and I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, that was so much fun. He's like, yeah, now that it's over, and he was not having it. I mean, him and his sister went to a haunted attraction last year, I think, and she's his big sister, and she, you know, but he's the tall one, you know, so she's like, you got to go first and protect me. He's like, you're my older sister, you know, and he actually something jumped out and scared him. He pushed her ahead of him, and he took off. I'm like, oh my God. So, you know,
no, I mean, after reading this book, I might be a little skeptical about going on any type of haunt. I've always felt like that, though. When you go to mazes or, like, haunted houses, I've always felt like it was a setup. Like, we're going to get in here and this is where I die. So I don't like to go to those things. I just stay home and read about it. I don't like to go.
I think it's a, you know, and I, again, I went to like a Halloween haunt, what was that, Halloween horror, I don't know, some attraction thing in Florida where they scare you and crap, and oh my gosh,
oh,
it was great, and I went with a friend of mine, and I thought she was like, you know, this tough, you know, chick, and she was terrified, and I'm like, you know, they can't hurt you. They can't even touch us. They just can jump out and scare us.
See,
That's what they say.
There was these people in front of me at the grocery store the other day talking about this thing they were going to go to, and you get locked in at like 8 o'clock at night, and they don't unlock it until 7 o'clock. And I was like, y'all are stupid. I was like, absolutely not. Like, we're not going and getting locked in anywhere.
It sounds like so much fun. You know, as long as I was sure they weren't really going
to
kill me or anything, I'd be fine.
Yeah, I would
have to be doubly sure. Yeah, and how can you ever really be? No, so, how can you be sure? I guess I just trust more than some people do, which could be a character flaw, you know. It really could be, but, yeah. So, yeah, we, tell us again what the name of the book was and who it's by.
Oh, it's called Death House, and it's by Joshua McMillan, and I'm pretty sure he said he's going to release it Halloween, day before Halloween. It's supposed to be a Halloween-themed book.
All right, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Sam, and I can't wait to see what you have. Not next week, because we'll be off the, we won't be there.
I was going to say congratulations.
Thank you. So. Yeah, we'll talk to you really soon. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Hi. She's always jolly. She's always jolly. So, we've got our next guest waiting in the green room, munching through the M&M's.
Yes.
So, I think we need to do what you need to do.
All righty, for our second guest of the evening, we have award-winning horror writer Ian Rogers. Yay!
Hello!
How are you?
There he is. I hear him.
Oh, there you are. Hello. We're good. How are you, sir?
How are you doing tonight? Hello?
Hello, struggling to hear you.
Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
Just get a bit closer to the phone or microphone.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Is this any better?
I can hear him a little bit. So, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada, actually. Maybe that's why you can't hear me. I'm so far away.
So far away.
Oh,
yeah.
It's from abroad, yeah.
How about now? Is this better?
Much better.
Much better, yes.
Is that better? Okay, good.
Awesome. Yeah.
There we go.
Ian is here to talk to us about his book, Every House is Haunted. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's my first book. It's a short story collection, and it's actually a reprint. This is sort of like an unofficial 10-year anniversary edition of the book. It's sort of being published to coincide with a movie that's being adapted from one of the stories in the book.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
You go ahead. It's okay.
No, I was going to ask with collections, is it like what different kinds of horror stories do you have?
Well, even though it's called Every House is Haunted, I mean, it's not, there's 22 stories in the book. Not every single one of them is a haunted house story. Several of them are, but it's sort of just the idea of sort of like suburban horror, you know, like that's why the motif of every house being haunted, it's sort of the different ways that houses and homes can be haunted, the way that lives are haunted, people are haunted. Mm-hmm. sort of like an exploration of contemporary life, you know, everything from pets to, you know, a nanny that you might hire to take care of your kids, you know.
I have to say, out of the horror genre, I think hauntings happen to be one of my absolute favorites, just because I think, well, I think it probably scares me the most. And if, you know, if anything in my house did something it wasn't supposed to, we'd have to move. I mean, there would be no, you know, I watched those ghost shows, you know, the ghost hunters and things, and they have, you know, scary things happening. They have, you know, EVPs, things are moving around, and they're like, oh, we've been here for a couple of years, and what are you smoking? Not me. I mean, I think I would be packing, like, you know, whatever would be happening, and I'm not packing right now. I'm out. So, James, he's like, oh, I'd love to see a ghost. No, I wouldn't. I would not. We went no. to last month we went to we stayed at a hotel that was supposed to be haunted. And, you know, when we came back, we were like, oh, my gosh, did you see a ghost or anything? No, and I'm glad because, I mean, even though it's exciting thinking that I could see one, if we had, we would have had to find a different hotel. So I think
when you watch a haunted house movie, it's the one thing you're always asking people is, like, why don't they just leave? You know, it's like, and that's because they left, every haunted house movie would be about 15 minutes long. So you always have to have a reason. For financial reasons, or, you know, the smarter ones always have a good reason why they want to stay. But for me, I've always liked haunted houses because when you think of movie monsters, and everyone's got their favorite movie monster, whether it's, you know, vampires or werewolves or aliens or whatever, people don't think of haunted houses as monsters, but each house is different. You got different types of houses, different types of haunted properties, haunted farms, you know, haunted warehouses. That haunted houses are like monsters too. Each one has got their own personality, their own look, you know, their own method of killing people sometimes if they're the violent type of haunted house. So I really liked the idea of exploring that and trying to put my own spin on it.
I appreciate that. Even if it's not even if it wasn't a ghost that was doing like mean things or scary things or anything like that, I couldn't handle it. I would not be the one. And maybe that's the difference of, you know, somebody who lives in a quote unquote haunted house or something. As long as it's not doing anything, you know, to hurt you, I guess, you know, you could just, you know, live with it, I suppose. But I don't think that I could. I really don't. I'm just you know, you see something out of the corner of your eye and it's not really there, or maybe, yeah, like even being like a, you know, I don't know if you believe in psychics or not, but, you know, even just that, I don't think that, you know, some gifts are for some people, and I'm perfectly happy being ordinary and not having anything like that, because I think it'd make me nutty. Yeah. You'd have to visit me in like a crazy, in an asylum or something.
I'm the same way. I mean, I read a series as well as a sort of standalone stories. And the series is called The Blacklands. And it's just a world where the supernatural just exists. It's a regular contemporary world. But back in like the 1930s, 1940s, these portals started popping up all over the planet. And they open onto a world that lies next door to our own, and every supernatural creature you can imagine comes from there. So for the last 70 or 80 years, we've just been living in this world where some monsters exist, and occasionally they pop over into our world. So in this world, haunted houses exist, and one of the characters in this world that I write stories about, he's a real estate agent, and he sells haunted properties. So I just really wanted to explore if the supernatural just existed, if kids learned about it in school and the government had to regulate it and protect people from it, everyday life be like? How would it affect jobs? So if haunted houses existed, well, someone would have to sell them. So the idea was that who would buy a haunted house? Like you said yourself, like some people just wouldn't want to live with them, but you know, with the way that some people are out there, someone would buy the damn thing, you know, even if they don't live in it, just some rich weirdo is just buying them to collect them just for pure bragging rights. Someone would buy haunted house just for kitsch value. Say, oh, I've got this haunted house. We don't live there because it's too
haunted.
We have a dinner party there. You have to come over and see my haunted house, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably go to dinner there. Yeah, definitely. But I couldn't live there. Yeah. Yeah. At the hotel that we stayed in, I was, you know, taking a bunch of pictures. I'm like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we get home and I'm looking through the pictures and, oh my gosh, I didn't see that or something. I think even James is like, you got to do EVPs while you're there. And yeah, I should have. We knew we should go back there. But yeah, it was, I really like the idea of being scared, but if I actually was scared, I don't know how fun it would be anymore. If I thought it was real anyway. Yeah.
I'm skeptical myself, but I'm also superstitious enough. Like my wife is the same as me. But if I jokingly try and like play Bloody Mary in the mirror, she's like, "Don't do that. Don't mess with that." You know, or it's just like,
yeah,
you know, well, if after we see Paranormal Activity, and I was like, "Well, I would totally pump a demon. I'd be like Micah in that movie. I'd be like, hey, demons don't exist. No, I can kick a demon's butt." And she's like, "Don't do that. I don't believe demons, but don't do that. Don't do that in our house." You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So like, why would you do that? Yeah. Exactly.
don't
I think
faith.
That. Yeah, yes, and like the, what was it, Candyman, yeah, like, you know, one time you can get away with it, that's fine, but, you know, don't say, why would you say anymore? That's funny.
I don't want to be the cautionary tale, I don't want to be that guy.
I want to hear more of Every House is Haunted. I think you have an excerpt that you're going to read for us.
Yeah, actually, because the movie is on its way to production, I actually I used to have a website. I used to be a web developer by day. That was my job for about 20 years before I started writing full-time. So I've got websites for my book, and I had one for Every House is Haunted. So I decided to revamp it with this new edition of the book that Cemetery Dance is putting out at the end of the month. And as part of this this revamp for everyhousehaunted.com, I included a free story from the collection, so I thought that I would read just the first section from that, just a couple of minutes worth, and then if people like it, they can just jump online and read the rest of the stories, and maybe they want to buy the book and read the rest of the stories, including the one that's getting turned into a movie right now, because it's a pretty big deal for me. It's a Netflix movie, and it's being produced by Sam Raimi, who's obviously a horror legend, and it's just a dream for me because I've been a Sam Raimi fan since the original Evil Dead. That was probably one of the very first horror movies I had to turn off halfway through and finish watching in the morning because it freaked me out so much. And I grew up on horror movies. Our parents didn't really censor us. It was they let us watch pretty much anything we wanted within reason. But my dad's rule was always, if you get nightmares, you're cut off. That was the rule. So That one messed me up, I can say that for sure. So, you know, 30 or so years later, actually probably closer to 40, being able to have say that Sam Raimi is a fan of my work and to have him option this book and now producing a movie based on one of my stories is sort of it's mind-blowing to me, I can say that much.
Congratulations. Yes, I'm anxious to hear the excerpt. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll read this right here. It's called The Candle, and it's the last story in the collection. It's one I've actually read at events a few times. I think it reads well. I think it's a good story. It's short, so I can usually read the whole thing in 15 minutes or so. I'm not going to read the whole thing right now, as I said. I'm just going to read the first section, but here we go.
Okay.
The Candle. Did you blow out the candle? Tom lowered his book and turned toward Peggy. Peggy lowered her own book and bit her lower lip. Why was it that she could remember what she had for breakfast every day this week, could even remember what she was wearing on most of those days, but couldn't remember if she had blown out the candle in the living room? Is this what middle age is, she wondered? The loss of short-term memory? She hoped not. She was forgetful enough as it was. She didn't need to help it along, she said finally. Then, no, I don't know. Peggy watched as Tom laid his hand on top of his book. She noticed the wrinkles on his fingers, the white hairs on his knuckles, and thought, we've gotten old. How did this happen? He looked at her fully now. Well, he said, which is it? Huh? She looked at him quizzically. Her own book had slumped forward and was now lying open on her chest. I'm sorry, Tom. I must be sleepier than I thought. What did you say? I asked if he remembered to blow out the candle. He was getting impatient. In the living room? She bit her lip again, and Tom had to repress an urge, one that had been growing stronger over the 26 years of their marriage, to reach out and pull her lip from under her perfectly capped teeth. It drove him crazy. Biting her lip while she was trying to remember something was one of her half dozen or so little gestures. It was enough to drive a man nuts. I really can't recall, Peggy said at last. I remember lighting it, of course, because the window was open and the smell of oats was really strong tonight. And I remember turning off the lamp after the movie was over. You put the DVD back on the shelf and I picked up the glasses on the coffee table. She trailed off, lost in thought. But I don't remember if I blew out that darn candle. Well, can you go check? Why can't you go? She asked a little testily. Because you lit the damn thing, Tom replied, a little testily himself. Because I lit it? Peggy repeated. What are you, 6 years old? Are you? He shot back. What is it? Are you afraid to go into the living room in the dark? Are you? I'm already comfortable. Then, as if to accentuate this fact, Tom nestled a bit further down under the covers and picked up his book again. I'm comfortable too, Peggy replied, a bit indignantly. She opened her own book, as if she was deeply engrossed in it, a tight little frown squiggled on her face. Tom heaved a big sigh. Listen, Peg, I've gotten up twice already. Once to make sure the side door was closed and locked, because you couldn't remember if you did that, and again to feed the stupid cat. Peggy looked at him and decided it was probably easier to submit now than to continue arguing about it. On the day she married Tom, her mother had given Peggy two pieces of advice. Don't sign anything until your lawyers looked at it first, and never go to bed angry. Okay, she said, closing her book and putting it on the nightstand. But this means you're making breakfast in the morning. Blueberry pancakes, she added. From behind his book, Tom snorted good-naturedly to show that he was a good sport, that bygones were bygones. Peggy flipped back the coverlet and slid her long legs out of bed. She was quite tall, taller even than Tom's considerable 5 feet 10 inches, and while she had always taken pride in her long legs, she didn't much like looking at them anymore. Like Tom's hands, they were starting to show their years. Not that it mattered. Her legs had the years and the mileage. When the floor creaked under her feet, she thought that part of the sound, surely not the greater part, but some part at least, was the joints in her knees letting her know that her days of junior varsity soccer and ringette were over, long over. She pulled up the baggy cotton boxer shorts she was wearing, the ones with the Peterborough Pete's logo on them, and reflected that her days of sexy lace underwear from IC France, the lingerie store downtown, were over too. This is where I ended up, she thought, as she ambled out into the dark hallway. This is where life has taken me. It wasn't as bad as she made it out. She had a satisfying marriage to a man she was still in love with. They had no major financial concerns, and they were both healthy. There were no kids because they had planned to wait until Tom's first novel put them on Easy Street. And when it didn't, they decided that the window had passed, and really, would it be such a tragedy if they didn't have kids? They had a house that was paid for, a car that was only 3 years old, and a large nest egg for their steadily approaching retirement. All of these things have brought me here, she thought, walking down a dark hallway to the living room where they watched a lot of movies, but not much living really took place. Yeah, that's probably a good spot to end it.
I was just getting into that. That was great. And you read it really well. Yeah, no, I want to read the book now. or we could just sit here
make her buy the book. Don't give her it. She will try and wheedle one out of you, but no, it's funny, we started the show talking about, you know, getting old and everything, and kind of fits really well. Yeah.
I wrote that story about 3 years ago, and it's because it reads different to me now, because I turned 46 in a couple of weeks, and I don't feel old, but I definitely feel time moving. And I think as you guys were just talking about a short time ago, I don't know where this year has gone by. Every other month I say to my wife, where did April go? Where did July go? Where did September go? It's flying. Like, the pandemic has just blown my sense of time. My memory has taken a hit. And I think it's just from not socializing as much. It's just been, it's like been living in a nuclear fallout bunker or something, but it's just ways that I never really thought something like that would really affect me. Because I'm a loner and I'm at home writing all the time anyway. So my day-to-day hasn't really changed, but very clearly it has affected me because I don't know where 2022 went. I can't even believe it's October. I can't believe the first week of October is already gone.
Yeah, it's the same way with us. I mean, I work from home as well, and, you know, we don't do a whole lot of things. But at the same time, you know, so, I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think we all said, you know, that people work from home, oh, nothing's changed here. But it has, you know, I mean, things have changed. And I wondered if it was, something that we're just getting a little older, that time's going by a little faster, but it seems to be happening to everyone. So it's kind of spooky. Maybe somebody should write a, no, don't do that. That's a bad idea.
I've already seen a few. I read a short story the other day, and I just read a novel that have both been written in the age of COVID, and they include them not as plot points, but it's happening in the background. It's like, oh wow, it's this is a watershed moment. It's now part of history. We are now officially living through it because it's in our fiction now.
I think it was last year, isn't it?
There's still people here, Brad, I don't know where you are, people around here wearing masks in the car when they're by themselves still. I don't understand them.
Yeah.
But there you go.
So I like to ask this question of almost all of our guests. We always bring up Stephen King, but if you're a fan of Stephen King, do you, what was your favorite
scratch that. Okay.
No?
It's Clive Barker. Okay. Clive Barker's birthday. So which is your favorite Clive Barker book?
Well, I'll answer both because I love them both. I fell in love with horror because my mom loved horror. And as I said, my parents didn't censor us. So they let us watch all the horror movies my sister and I wanted to watch and read all the horror books we wanted to read. And granted, at that time, when I was a youngster, a lot of the fiction went over my head, but it still made an impression. So I would say, in honor of, obviously, it was Clive Barker's birthday just the other day, my favorite Clive Barker, and I've read it all. I've read them all. I love them, is Cabal. I love Cabal. Love Nightbreed.
A good one.
I got need to actually write a Nightbreed story. Tor Books did a Nightbreed anthology a few years back called Midian Unmade. So it was basically you got to write a story about what happened to the leftovers of the Nightbreed. So I wrote a story and they accepted it, and it was great. So that was a big one off my bucket list. I don't know if Clive Barker even got to see it, but I mean, in my mind, I like to think that he got to read at least a few of them.
Yeah, he did.
I love that. I love Cabal. I love the idea of monsters.
That was a good one.
It was just so good. It was just, I think that in some ways, maybe certain special effects or whatever are a bit dated, but I think it still holds up pretty well. I mean, with what they could do in the current age and the current technology and the way that television has taken off, I think a nice little mini series, you know, I think really let the story breathe. Like, not even really, do four episodes, do six if you want to. And, you know, if it takes off and it does really well, then pick it up afterwards. You know, like even Clive Barker talked about doing a couple of sequels to Cabal that he just never got around to doing. So, I mean, the material is there to see what happens when the leftovers of the Nightbreed is sort of spread to the four corners of the world. You know, I'd watch it.
I would too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think one of my the Damnation Game was, I think it was the first novel Lives I read.
Yep.
Was brilliant. The Great and Secret Show as well was just blew me away. That was it was fantasy. It was wow. The way he creates the worlds is just unbelievable. You know, that was always stuck with me.
The third book of the year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I love Great and Secret Show.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Harry DeMore stories. Yeah, the Black Lamp series that I read.
Yeah.
I got a has got an occult detective in it, and you know, I wouldn't say strongly inspired by Harry DeMore, but I mean, when you're doing a supernatural detective, you have to sort of pay tribute to one of the masters, and that's Clive Barker. You know, like he could have done 10 books. You know, he could have done a handful of short stories and then a couple of novels, but it's I always wanted more, and that's how you know a good writer. You know, you always want more.
Definitely, yes. And I want more of this conversation. I am so sorry, Ian. We are out of time, but you have to promise to come back and visit us.
No, absolutely. Well, again, I'm hoping to have some movie news in the next few weeks. So maybe once this thing finally gets into gear and I've got some actual big news about production or casting or something, I could come back on the show.
Definitely. For all of our listeners out there, be looking out for Every House is Haunted by Ian Rogers. And I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your evening. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Where did the time go? Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. You know, we start the show and go, how are we going to fill an hour out, you know? Start off and then, thinking, shit, we're running out of time, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's nice that, you know, 291 shows now, and we still feel, but it's not like drudging through it, and the minute I get to that point, that's when we quit, but you still keep it, but we've got some terrific guests, I mean, guests are always phenomenal, you know, we need to get Stephen King on so you can ask him what is his favorite
I would love to do that.
And his favorite dinosaur as well. We need to know what Stephen King's favorite dinosaur is. Do that.
Yeah, I'll start working on it.
Do that. Get, so you can get Steve. Well, we've got our 300th show coming up in a few weeks. Yes. 9 weeks. Yes, if you can get Stu on, you can ask him personal. Anywho, it is time has beaten us. It is that time of the evening where we say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Whoa, come back, my love.
Do, do, do.
Don't go away.
Do the wang, do the wang.
I want you to come back, my love. Don't go away. I need your love every day. I love you so well. I want you to know I need your love so badly.
Give me a chance, oh baby.
Come back, my love. I need your love so badly. I need your love so badly.
baby.
I need your love so badly.